Greetings, netizens around the world and all across the fruited plain. It is I, your host, Mick Williams, Mick Williams Cyberline, coming around the world to you via the internet and coast to coast on the USA Radio Network. A little extra we're doing tonight for the late, great Rush Limbaugh. By the way, if you don't know, that song's called My City Was Gone by the Pretenders. Off the album Learning to Crawl, one of the greatest Pretenders albums known in the known universe, which I also personally own. And it's amazing, there was a lot of heat between him and Chrissy Hynde about playing the song, because she was definitely very liberal. And they actually got together and decided that he can play it however he wants. He has to pay a certain amount of money to pay for the royalties. And they said, well, instead of paying the royalty people, why let them get fat? So Hynde says, why don't you make a check to PETA instead? And he said, I got no problem with that. Sure. And he proceeded to do so. So PETA, as much as they probably hate Rush Limbaugh, have been the benefit of the royalty checks every time he plays My City Is Gone. If you haven't heard the whole thing, it's about Ohio, where Chrissy originally was from, Akron. A lot of the cities in Ohio are listed in the song, and about all the closing of the malls and the decay that happened to all of the area from the steel mills and everything else leaving. So there you go. So this week, you know, past month, all hell broke loose, where a hedge fund got torpedoed and a bunch of guys on Reddit called Wall Street Bets made some killer money and took out a hedge fund. One of the guys is Keith Gill. And Keith is a guy that also goes by the name Roaring Kitty. If you look up Roaring Kitty on YouTube, you'll see a whole bunch of the stuff. He has a whole trading thing set up in his basement. He's married and got a young kid. And he basically set everything up in the basement to be able to trade because he didn't want to stay up at night keeping his kid awake, so allow her to sleep. And he works all of this out, does videos and everything. He's really good at what he does and hit it nail on the head with GameStop. So if you want to learn from Roaring Kitty, he also has a different name on Reddit that is Deep Blank Value. I can't say it on the air due to FCC purposes, but when you get into Reddit and look that up, you'll know what I'm talking about. So Maxine Waters, the clueless chairman when it comes to finances and stocks and everything, she is chairing this. And the fun part is that everybody's coming from their offices or their homes. So I'm going to let you play this about 5 minutes. I'm going to let you hear his opening statement and get a feel for, you know, who he is and what he does. And most of all, you're going to find out that he is self-taught and knows his stuff. And we're going to get that to you right here in 3, 2, 1.
This one food today.
Oh, hold on just a second. I have a technical difficulty. Please hold on, hold on, hold on. We have to kill something here. Where are we at? We need to be over here, and we will try that again. Give me just a moment. Thank you very much. That's right. I'm running the whole ball of wax, kids. Hold on.
Thank you, Chairwoman Waters, Ranking Member McHenry, members of the committee. I'm happy to discuss with the committee my purchases of GameStop shares and my discussions of their fair value on social media. It is true that my investment in that company multiplied in value many times. For that, I feel enormously fortunate. I also believe the current price of the shares demonstrates that I've been right about the company. A few things I am not. I am not a cat. I am not an institutional investor. Nor am I a hedge fund. I do not have clients, and I do not provide personalized investment advice for fees or commissions. I'm just an individual whose investment in GameStop and posts on social media were based upon my own research and analysis. I grew up in Brockton, Massachusetts. My family was not wealthy. My father was a truck driver and my mom a registered nurse. I was one of three kids and the first in my family to earn a four-year college degree when I graduated from Stonehill College in 2009. That was not a good time to be looking for a job. From 2010 to 2017, I worked at a few startup companies, but there were significant periods when I was unemployed. I took an interest in the stock market, and even though I had very little money, I used those times to educate myself and learn more about investing. In April 2019, after nearly 2 years unemployed, I accepted a marketing and financial education job at MassMutual. My wife Caroline and I were thrilled that I had an income and benefits. My job was to help develop financial education classes that advisors could present to prospective clients. I was not a stockbroker or a financial advisor. I did not talk to clients, and I did not recommend stocks for them to buy. Before and after I joined MassMutual, I studied and followed stocks. One of those was GameStop. In early June of 2019, the price of GameStop stock declined below what I thought was its fair value. I invested in GameStop in 2019 and 2020 because, as I studied the company, I became more and more confident in my analysis. Two important factors, based entirely on publicly available information, gave me confidence that GameStop was undervalued. First, the market was underestimating the prospects of GameStop's legacy business and overestimating the likelihood of bankruptcy. I grew up playing video games and shopping at GameStop, and I plan to continue shopping there. GameStop stores still provide real value to consumers and reliable revenue for GameStop. Second, I believe that GameStop has the potential to reinvent itself as the ultimate destination for gamers within the rapidly growing $200 billion gaming industry. GameStop has a unique opportunity to pivot toward a technology-driven business. By embracing the digital economy, GameStop may be able to find new revenue streams that vastly exceed the value of its business. I am hardly the only person who has advocated these points. When I wrote and spoke about GameStop on social media with other individual investors, our conversations were no different from people in a bar or on a golf course or at home talking or arguing about a stock. Hedge funds and other Wall Street firms have teams of analysts working together to compile research and analyze shares of companies. Individual investors do not have those resources. Social media platforms like Reddit, YouTube, and Twitter are leveling the playing field. The idea that I use social media to promote GameStop stock to unwitting investors and influence the market is preposterous. My post did not cause the movement of billions of dollars into GameStop shares. It is tragic that some people lost money, and my heart goes out to them. But what happened in January just demonstrates again that investing in public securities is extremely risky. As I said earlier, I consider myself and my family fortunate with our investment. When the stock price broke $20 in December, I knew my investment was a success. I was so happy to visit my family in Brockton for the holidays. The money will go such a long way for us. We had an incredibly difficult 2020. Most difficult was the tragic and unexpected loss of my sister, Sarah, in June. I am grateful to be in a position to give back to and support my family. As for what happened in January, others will have to explain it. It's alarming how little we know about the inner workings of the market. And I am thankful that this committee is examining what happened. I also want to say that I support retail investors' right to invest in what they want, when they want. I support the right of individuals to send a message based on how they invest. As for me, I like the stock. I'm as bullish as I've ever been on a potential turnaround for GameStop, and I remain invested in the company. Thank you. Cheers, everyone.
Okay, and I got to apologize to you guys for a couple of things. You probably heard a lot of noise in the background. It could have been Maxine. It could have been somebody else on the line, but it sounded like they were dropping a lot of stuff and things and just going nuts there. Well, anyway, I thought he made a very good point and everything, and he's right. It's no different if you're in a bar, your family arguing about it, whatever. It just happens that you're on social media. And kids, Wall Street Bets is not the only game in town. They're just the ones that got the most people together to do something and actually make it happen. I'm in several different groups. Whether it be across my stock brokerage groups, through Facebook, Twitter. There's a couple of people that I follow on Twitter that sometimes will get the news before the news gets it. And it's perfectly legal. It's not insider trading. They just have access to information that everybody else does. They're just ahead of it before CNBC and everybody else gets it. And it happens on the same day. It's not like, you know, putting a trade in the day before. But he's right. Social media has changed the playing field because we now all have these tools. And if you really want to get down to brass tacks, these guys are not the first group. Look up in Wikipedia the group Beardstown Ladies. Well, maybe not look it up in Wikipedia. They got some nasty things to say about them. It was basically a bunch of women that are older, retired, and they got together and they picked stocks and did very well for themselves. And one of the things they did, I believe they kept the money to themselves. They went in with their own accounts, which is just like with the Reddit guys at Wall Street Bets. Everybody had their own account. Everybody either pretty much played Robinhood or they could have TD Ameritrade and some others. And they were retail investors. And all that means is that they are people that, you know, aren't in the business. They're not trained for it. He talked about YouTube. Well, he's got YouTube channels. If you want to see what he's doing and learn from him, go right ahead. It's a free country. But you'll also see a lot of tools to where they also went to and learned how to trade options, which is what they're doing. All the lingo, how to do it, how to set up spreads. And anybody can do this. And I love the guys because they're not degreed. Like he said, you know, all these guys on the other side have technical analysis they don't have access to. Yes and no. You do have access to it through your brokerage house like Thinkorswim or Tastytrade. And there's all sorts of stuff out there and tools that I even use to look at stuff. Now, mind you, you don't have other people doing it for you, like a whole horde of departments, you know, doing it and putting it on a sheet and say, these are the ones we recommend. You're doing the footwork. So we're going to come back and we're going to talk about this a little more. And I'm also going to tell you about some stuff because this was not only just him, the guy that runs Reddit and a few other people were involved. And we're going to also talk about what Robinhood has to say and also tax implications. That's right. Because, you know, you make all this money, you got to render Caesar onto what is Caesar because he wants the dressing for his salad. And so we'll talk about that as well and what to look for. And I'll even give you a couple pointers on places to go if this is something that you're, you know, wanting to get into and want to learn. 844-RADIO-US, 844-RADIO-US. You're listening to McWilliams Cyberline. We will be right back. Cyberline with you. 844-RADIO-US. 844-RADIO-US. Host 2020 at cyber-line.com. Facebook.com/CyberlineNet. And of course, the Tweety at CyberlineUSA. Falco, German version of Amadeus. Big thing there in the 1980s. MTV itself. Believe it or not, this week he would have been 64 years old. Sadly, no longer with us. He was traveling somewhere in South America and happened to turn at a stop sign and got plowed into his car with a truck. And but his music still lives on. All right, so just wanted to give a little shout out there. Heart of 64. That was like 30 years ago. The guy was 34. And, of course, he had Vienna Calling and several others that were there as well. So Vlad Tenev, he's a guy that is one half of the CEO and one half of Robinhood. And he said in his testimony before Congress this week that the assets of his platform users have collectively grown by more than $35 billion. He defended the platform he found in 2013 from lawmakers during the 5-hour hearing in front of the House Financial Services Committee. First of three planned hearings, which aim to investigate the main players at the center of the GameStop drama back in January. Jim Himes, representative, former Goldman Sachs banker, was not so convinced with his claim. He argued that if Robinhood would not reveal how much its clients invested on the trading platform, then it would not be possible to calculate the return on their investments. You threw out the number of $35 billion, he says. I actually think the right comparison is, what if your clients had simply invested in an S&P 500 index fund? Would that number be more than $35 billion or less? Teniv said that the representative was making the wrong comparison. He says, with respect, Congressman, I don't think the right comparison is investing in an S&P 500 index fund. I think the right comparison is not having invested at all and having instead spent that money. When pressed, Representative David Kustoff on the company's controversial payments for order flow model, wherein customers' trades are directed to third parties for execution, Teniv admitted that it was indeed Robinhood's largest source of revenue. Maxine Waters followed up with the same question on whether whose best interest it was Robinhood was selling customer trades. I'm sorry, this woman is on the Finance Committee. She has no clue what the stuff is they're talking about. I'm sorry, but it's true. Anyway, they in December paid $65 million penalty in December 2020 for misleading communications with customers around its payment for order flow practices. Now, the hearing scrutinizes events took place in January when day traders organized on Reddit drove up share price of GameStop, initiating a short squeeze on hedge funds that have been battling against the video game retailer. Stock went on a dizzying climb, only for it to come crashing back down following restrictions on the stock by Robinhood and other brokers. The episodes draw an extension of the Securities Exchange Commission and other regulators. This is going to continue on because now the people that were involved, Melvin Capital and others on March 25th, are going to come to the same committee. And Maxine's clueless, still going to be running it. And they're going to explain their side of the situation. And these are the big boys, the hedge funds and people that are in the inner workings over there, unlike the guys that schooled themselves and blew out a hedge fund. So you'll get to hear from the bigwigs who think they know everything on the 25th of March, except for Maxine, who, again, who's totally clueless on how stocks work. So when that comes down, we will give you more information on that as well, along with everything else that will be coming up as the saga of the GameStop Wall Street Bets deal continues. Listen to Mick Williams' Cyberline. We'll be right back.